welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games by the people for the people and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Heartreed and The Flame in the Flood.
Absolutely. This is another one of our Duckstream donation requests.
Yes, it is.
The Flame in the Flood was requested. And like last time, I am right now going to look up who requested it. And I'm going to ask for you guys to forgive me for not doing it yet. Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm on the tail end of a marathon recording session.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
So this is this will be well into hour five by the time we get done with this, but that is A-okay.
A-okay. I'm
not complaining. Just please extend me your grace for me being a sleepy boy.
Heartreed is a game that we got in a bundle that we just chose to start off as our potato game.
It's in the good bundle, charity bundle for the ACLU that came out in the wake of Orange Void getting elected.
Yeah, right in November there.
Yep.
And Flame in the Flood was the one requested by Mark. So thank you very much, Mark. Let's get into Heartbleed.
Yeah, Heartreed. Let's do Heartreed first. That's how I'm pronouncing it as well. It's spelled it's H-E-A-R lowercase T-R-E-A-D. So it kind of looks like Hear Read, and it could also be Heart or Hear Tread.
Yes.
Many different interpretations work. Mm-hmm. And the kind of gimmick of this, this is by Getting the Damn Box.
Yes.
Games there. Primarily made by Sabrina Boyd and Matt Circa, the two, mm-hmm. two designers. And the kind of gimmick here is that it is entirely audio.
Yes, there is no video at all.
Yes. And it takes about 45 minutes to get through. We're going to explain kind of what happens.
Yes.
In it, because you can't really talk about it without it. So if it's something you wanted to play, if that sounds interesting to you, maybe, you know, fast forward. I don't know that I recommend it. I don't like this that much. I think it's a kind of neatly told story, but I think the story itself is not very good.
I'm also not too big on the story, and for a game that doesn't have video, you know, it's still an indie game. It still has, you know, amateurish voice acting and music design and stuff. So
one of the voice actors is explicitly very bad.
Yeah.
I found her really annoying.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the concept here, Nick.
Sure. So so you have landed into a completely dark area. You and your heart, your heart is a character in the game that you can speak to. You are apparently collecting things called polygons, which appear to me to be basically like keys that add up to a Stargate type deal, where you can travel between different places by having the right combination of polygons. They're numbered.
Mm-hmm.
But as you land in this dark space that you cannot see anything, but your heart can kind of feel, you drop all your polygons along with everything else you had in your hands, and thus start the game by the heart trying to lead you towards the items you've dropped.
Yes, in pitch darkness, you cannot see. And the one thing that I think is kind of cool about this, or the thing it does well, is it's kind of presented as a chapter that kind of suggests a richer beginning and ending, or like stuff that came before and stuff that came after.
Yeah.
This is the idea, is that, like, you know, you are some kind of magician, a mage, a witch lady, and this is like the kind of dimension hopping hijinks you get into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these kind of references that, like, you've been here before, this is stuff you've done. You know, this kind of it reminds me of, like, it feels like a comic to me.
Yeah,
in a weird way, like this would be, you know, in a comic, and the voice is kind of like that as well. So we don't actually find out what any of the things really are.
Right.
There's no kind of explicit backstory to our character. It's all suggested detail.
Mm-hmm.
There's just kind of one mechanic to the game, which is, and this is also something I think is kind of cool, I wish there were stakes to it, is that when you can hold down control to listen to your heart, and it will either increase or slow its heartbeat, or there's a door that makes kind of a high-pitched noise that your heart can hear, and
right.
you have to use the arrow keys to kind of echolocate where things are and then walk towards them. The potential kind of twist to it is that when you're doing that, you can't hear what's around you.
Right.
This didn't turn out to have consequence, really.
except for missing dialogue. Like,
well, yeah, which is a bad thing. That's exactly it. Like, you just can't hear the dialogue when that's happening.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, I thought the idea was like, oh, like these things that are, because there's, weirdly enough, there's combat in this game.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, these things are going to kind of sneak up on you. And you have to be really careful about how you're using your location. Maybe do this kind of risk reward between keeping yourself on the track and knowing when things are about to attack you.
Right.
Not the case, really.
Yeah.
You just, there's, I think if you hold down the heart key too long, something maybe happens.
You just get like exhausted. Like, it just takes you out of it, and you have a little dialogue bit with your heart about it, but it doesn't, it's not like super mechanically negative or anything.
And it's not like I want like a harsh fail condition to this like short story game. It's just that's what that makes me think of. That's like a survival horror mechanic. Like, it's like turning on the flashlight to see, but that also attracts the monsters.
Absolutely.
You know, taking away a sense is a really powerful fear mechanic, and this game is not about fear. So you're just kind of doing this echolocation as you go through, and then you collect your four objects, and then you start, monsters kind of show up, like these demons that kind of menace you, and you have to aim at them, and then you transmute them and turn them into cats.
Yeah.
Through a magic spell.
Which a little robot, the only other thing besides monsters roaming around this place, scoops up and carries around with him.
Yeah, and feeds them.
And feeds them.
Again, just feels like a real quirky, like, webcomic kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the game.
That's it, yeah.
You make your way towards this door, you get out of it. It's a tiny scene in a larger story. The problem, I think, is that all the mechanical stuff is not very compelling and really repetitive.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely could have done much more. All you have is arrow keys and control. That's your only means of controlling anything in the game.
And there's no, like, you know, maybe something sounds like the door, but it's not actually, you know, there's no, like, decisions that are being made. It's not, I'm not saying it needs to be really challenging. It's just so simple.
There's very little player agency at all.
It doesn't feel that different than, like, just being in a walking simulator and saying, hey, walk towards this gigantic pole.
Right.
You know, turn until you see it, then walk towards it. It's just kind of novel because it's audio. And then the way that the game, I think, becomes actively irritating is that voice acting and production.
Yeah, well, and especially for me, like, the last third of the game is completely hands-off.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
like,
too.
There's just, like, a song bit and the end of the story that takes, you know, the last 10 minutes of you playing it. It's a little irritating that you're just sitting back and listening for the last bit.
Yeah. It's, so the song bit, like, when you cast these spells, you kind of yell out these lines, and these are
so bad.
These are the bad line reads. These are really, really bad.
Yeah.
So you kind of yell out and you're just like, you know, I'm afraid I'll never get home again. Like, it's a lot like the line reads on that really famous lip sync, that YouTube, like, bad video game voice acting lip sync.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The emphasis is always on the da-da-da-da-da-da. Everything has that cadence to it. And then you later find out these are lyrics to the song that you play. And there's foreshadowing. Like, when you're turning around and you're listening to your heart, like, guitar kind of creeps in.
Yeah.
Like, the audio design is actually kind of cool. What's being said isn't, though.
Right.
And then you do this duet with your heart, this really bland kind of, like, twee pop song. and then it ends.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, nothing else to it.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, like, the only thing it really has going for it is that it's a unique experience in that there's no visuals. And to that end, you know, the accessibility of it is good. Like, I'm glad that there's video games out there that are capable of being played by people who don't have sight. Like, that's a really good thing. But in terms of actual execution here, there's definitely quite a bit lacking, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's one like awards for accessibility. So, like, the idea of video games for blind people, I can appreciate, right?
Absolutely.
There's an iOS game called Papa Sangre, that is played entirely in the dark as well. That is much cooler than this, and is kind of a neater thing. It's nothing about this is bad except for the content. Like, the shell it's in is kind of good. Like, the ideas, the mechanics I could get behind if the story was really good.
Yeah.
I don't need
to. I actually like, you know? I like the world it's, like, hinting at. Like, it's not unenjoyable.
Yeah. Like, a time traveling, like, again, if it was in a comic and this was, like, this time traveling witch, you know, this dimension hopping witch that got into fights with their heart, like, you know, even the lines themselves wouldn't be that obnoxious if they were, if I was reading them.
Yeah.
It's, you know, she's not a professional voice actor. Like, that's something that happens with indie games that are voiced. Sometimes you don't have a professional voice actor and the acting is not very good.
Yep.
And it's, you know, I don't mean to shit on them. Like, they're, you know, super small studio. This is on itch.io. You know, so it's obviously it's a small game. And there are elements of it that are very good, but I just think that the performance is just really not there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that's frustrating. Real quick before we move on, I want to see if they have any other games. Cause it'd be cool if they took this kind of thing and they, yeah, it looks like they have a couple different games.
Yeah.
You know, all of which I think are in that good bundle. And maybe they've kind of done other cooler things with this idea.
Yeah, it seems mainly, this seems like it's kind of his biggest thing so far. Most of the other ones I believe are small little kind of demo-y things. But yeah, this is, this Get in the Damn Box is definitely just this Matt Stricker guy's outlet for creative, game stuff. So
yeah,
it's neat.
Need some more time in the old writing bay.
Yeah.
And the old acting bay.
And the old acting bay.
And the old songwriting bay. other than that, all their other bays were good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that said, let's move on to The Flame and the Flood.
Yeah, this is something I like more.
Yeah, this is something I like more, too. The Flame and the Flood, it was a game that was originally kickstarted, officially released, let's see here, February 24th of 2016. So it's been out for a little over a year, by a developer called The Molasses Flood. And it is a roguelike survival, like action adventure game.
Yes. This is part of that like post Bioshock, crop of indie games. It's not the same people, but, some of the team who worked on Halo 2, Rock Band, and Bioshock.
Interesting.
So there's that weird creative, like Bioshock and Bioshock 2 Fallout that made tons of like interesting indie games.
No, what's funny is that playing this game, it feels like the most Double Fine game that Double Fine didn't make ever.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Even though I think it is more mechanically sound than most Double Fine games, like, weirdly enough. Like,
but yeah, it feels like the like hack and slash, like where the mechanics kind of are the forefront and they're just kind of not.
We'll get into it.
But yeah, so you play as a girl who is a girl and a dog that are trying to survive in a world that is very desolate and destroyed by traveling down this river on a makeshift raft, stopping off at every little encampment and place you can find to gather resources and keep your sleep, hunger, thirst, and body temperature all within healthy ranges.
Yes. And this is, you know, this is a very much a survival game. That is the forefront. So close to what we, you know, close to Don't Starve, I guess, is the closest thing that we've done with kind of the big gimmick with it is this, this flood kind of mechanic. Like the area you're in is this kind of weird extended summer camp area. So there's an aesthetic element that's kind of interesting. And then there's the river, which is your measure of progress.
Yeah.
So you're not just surviving on like an island. You survive on, you know, you start on the main island and then head off on the river and you can stop at different types of islands along the way that have different properties. So some of them are farms, so they're going to be rich in food and water. Some of them can service your raft. Some of them are not likely to have anything. And some of them are camps. Like some of them are going to have the ability to stop and sleep. And the big thing here, it is really, really crafty survival-y in the strictest sense of the word. So like you know, crafting is necessary as the primary mechanic right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely super craft heavy and it's incredibly unforgiving in its kind of negative afflictions that you pick up along the way. So like everything that can hurt you will cause you something that requires crafting in order to help you get out, or requires you to, you know, find another encampment that say has a fire so that you can dry off, or you know, various other things. And all of those afflictions like also develop if they go untreated. So it can really tailspin real fast if you allow yourself to, you know, ignore a scratch that becomes infected that gives you sepsis, you know.
Yes.
So
and where that kind of becomes frustrating is that like the items that you need to treat those things can be pretty rare.
Yeah.
And you won't get to them in time and your inventory is painfully limited.
Oh my God. So I just found in my last run, I just found that you can craft a pocket that like increases your inventory, like almost doubles it on your main character. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I just wish that this was like not one of the hidden mechanics of
It was just at the game. Because there's a little bit more too, where like you have an inventory, your dog has an inventory, your raft has storage.
All of which is annoying as shit. Like,
well, yeah, the menuing here is the fatal flaw.
Yeah, like why do you require me to have three different places to store things just to give me the aggravation of having to keep swapping stuff around?
Yeah, yeah, it sucks. Like moving stuff around really blows in this, and it's in one way it has to be separate places because the kind of the consistent kind of mechanic or static thing is that your dog's inventory doesn't get reset when you die.
Yeah.
So your dog, even if you start a new game, you'll start with your dog's items.
So that's your one mode of progress between games. And there's two separate dogs, so basically like two two save files essentially.
Yeah. And especially if you're playing on normal mode or on hard mode. On normal mode, there's not permadeath. Like when you die, you actually restart at a checkpoint.
Well, yeah.
So that dog mechanic kind of is a little bit less, you know, useful.
Right.
But you know, if you're playing on survival, the dog is super useful. You know, so there's tactics to like what you're going to put in the dog slot, you know, and what you're going to put in the human slot, because you might lose what's in the human slot. Like I can, you know, get down with that to a degree.
Yeah.
You know, but actually managing it needed to be like 1,000 times easier.
Totally.
And then the other thing with it is it's got the problem that so many survival games have, where there's a key item that unlocks half the crafting, right? So like you will run into you can't make any weapons until you can make a steel knife,
right?
And you can't make a steel knife for a long time, but you're going to run into things to fight way earlier than that. And I get that you're supposed to run, but it's such an investment cost to land on an island only to be chased off by boars.
Yep.
And then just be like, well, I couldn't do anything about that and I have no weapons.
All of my games have been wrecked by boars.
Yeah, boars killed me as well. Like, I played, you know, I played for a few hours, like long enough to get it. I didn't make appreciable progress in it, because those kind of mid-game items are mid-game items. Like, you're supposed to go without that for a long time. It reminds me a lot of like, you know, not getting the gold item in Don't Starve.
Right.
You know how that like so much stuff was locked to that. Like, you just can't make it without it, and it just became, you know, pretty frustrating. And that's, you know, that was really what kind of did it in for me. Like, no, I like the idea of a survival game loop is very appealing to me. But I haven't played a game yet that has done it as well as State of Decay, because all of them are now roguelikes. So along with being roguelike, they have to like really pump up the difficulty and initial difficulty specifically.
Right.
And that is kind of what is killing the genre for me. You know, it has to be super hard to get to that first thing where you can get that one item that unlocks the rest of the game. You know, because otherwise you wouldn't restart it 1,000 times and die a bunch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wish that, player knowledge played more into it than RNG.
Yeah. The player knowledge is really just like what's worth taking and what's not worth taking.
And that's not enough to carry me between runs, you know?
And it doesn't make as big a difference as you want it to. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You could still just like end up on Boar Island 1,000 times, even if you know not to take every single dandelion you see.
Right.
You know? So, the meters themselves are not so harsh. Like, that's not really the problem.
No, not too bad.
The aesthetics, as long as it's your zoomed out, look good.
I like the look of everything but the main character.
Yeah, the main character looks like a nightmare. Looks like a weird Frankenstein, and I don't know why. And again, a very Double Fine kind of aesthetic way. The music is a real weird choice.
I mean, I'm sure it's someone's cup of tea, and I can see it fitting, you know, this kind of mid-US, you know.
It's going for like Riverlands. Bastion, but it's not. It's You Sir or No Bastion. Like, you know, it's vocal. Like, the music is long stretches of silence, and then a song starts that's about survival.
Yeah.
That's a
and it's
real
in a
weird
country
choice.
Twang, you know, folksy, weird. Yeah, not big on that.
It's a musician, like a songwriter who does his solo stuff named Chuck Reagan, who does that, who has like a long and kind of storied career, who ended up doing this thing. So it is kind of a, you know, again, it is for somebody,
I can tell that it's not bad for what it is. Like, it's decent music, but I'm not sure. I don't like its fit into the game.
Yeah.
Lyrical music in the game that you don't like. It seems to want to kick in when you're on the river, but it doesn't know how long you're going to be on that river.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Because it is randomly generated. The islands you run into on the river and the loot you run into on the river are random. The river itself is also like this arcade mechanic that's important because all the guides I read, like once I got to the point where it's like, oh, I can't do this. This is the guy from Hot Water Music. Okay. That's that guy's a big deal. Like, I didn't realize he had a solo career. All the guides I read that were like how to actually play the game said that the most important thing in the world is not to take damage on your raft.
Yeah. I could tell that. Yeah. For sure.
And it's hard not to,
it definitely,
and apparently gets like way, way harder. The river gets way more rapid and cluttered as you go. So this is this little arcade thing as you're going between islands, trying to avoid running into debris and these like piles of garbage that look like dragons.
Yeah, just the little piles of trees and stuff. Oh. Yeah. I kind of like the actual arcade river mechanic.
Yeah, part. Me too.
I think that part's pretty fun.
Me too. And I definitely had fun on some islands. Like, I would get to an island, like, oh, I can make this now. That is satisfying. Like, sit down and do it. I just, you know, inevitably ended up in the mouth of boars.
Right, yeah.
It was actually comical. Like, the first time I ran into boars, there were two boars on the island, and I thought I could hit them with my stick. You have a stick that you carry that you can wave, but that is exclusively for waving away birds.
Yeah, and I don't know what that does. It makes them drop feathers. Why you'd want to do it.
So it does two things. Look it up. Like, one, they drop feathers, which is how you make arrows. Two, if you don't wave away birds, they'll squawk and draw predators.
Draw the boars towards you and stuff, yeah.
So that's not a weapon, though. So the boar hit me. Kind of knocked me down and then like bone fracture. And then the other boar came from off screen and the two of them ping ponged me, until I had like seven or eight fractures on the screen. And then, I think this is a mechanic that it has where you will pass out and enemies will leave you alone. And if you have enough stuff in your inventory to fix yourself, you can. And I obviously didn't have seven splints. So I was crawling away, on my hands and knees, and then the boar just like slowly turned around. It was actually like pretty funny. And then the boar, gored me and then I died.
Nice.
And then I was actually like, at that point, it was probably the most positive I was in the game. Cause when I woke up and I saw my dog had all my stuff, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. When I was just like, oh, I must've just had a spot of bad luck running on Boar Island. But then I found out that there's tons of boar islands.
Yeah, as soon as you get into the second stage of the river, it's the boar city. It's boars all the way down.
It's boars on boars on boars. Like, we heard you like boars. And like, you know, those are resources. You can eat them if you get a bow and arrow, but I just haven't found a fucking metal knife or the ability to craft metal. So
I think you can steel trap them too if you have the resources to make that trap. But the one time I had it, I got it and kept trying to blaze it while the boar kept bashing me, and it interrupts you every time. Yeah. So I was just getting beat up trying to blaze this trap to trap the boar that was beating me up. It wasn't good.
Yeah, it's frustrating because this is, like I said, this is a gameplay loop that I am sympathetic to and would like to check out, but didn't ultimately turn out to be friendly enough or refined enough to keep my attention.
Yeah, I think I still love games trying for this, you know, roguelike survival loop. I still like Don't Starve and want to go back now that Don't Starve Together is out, because I feel like that experience would be enriched by having friends to fuck around with.
I would like to try Don't Starve Together. Don't Starve Vanilla I don't have any interest in, but Don't Starve Together I would like to check out.
Yeah.
And also, this is an open invitation to people listening. If you want to hit me up on Twitter and tell me like survival games that are not Hateful Nightmares, I'm curious about them. Like, I get that harshness is part of the appeal. But I love, like, I like the idea of building like a little base and building life again.
Yeah.
You know, again, like, State of Decay, love that game.
Yeah. And, State of Decay 2 needs to show its face so I can get into it.
Show its pretty face. Cause like, that'll be co-op and that'll be great.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. We have an announcement though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big one.
Yeah. Big announcement. So I'm taking a leave of absence from the show. I know, like, this is the first time Nick's found out too. Dun dun dun. I love doing the show. My Kickstarter ends on the day after this comes out. So it is I need to write that book, and out of things that we like, I did not faking the Kickstarter. Do you think that I'm just gonna take the money and go? Because that was,
I mean, you're leaving the show. Yeah, the Kickstarter is ending. It seems like you're setting up for that.
My $7,000 I'm gonna take and start a new life in you know,
Bonfireside Chat's running out of content. I don't know, man. It seems to be lighted up.
We have plans. Like if you listen to the Bonfireside Chat appendix for last thing, we're gonna talk about kind of network stuff because we're doing stuff. We're not going anywhere.
Oh, I know.
No, I'm talking to the audience too. I love doing the show. I'm not going away forever. This show requires me playing, and I've started feeling guilty for not completing more games for the show. Like there could be like really cool plot stuff that happens at the end of The Flame and the Flood, but like I just, you know, didn't have time to play it for as long as I wanted to, you know? So this is just out of things that we do for, that I do for the network. This is, the second biggest time commitment. Yeah. Even when Dark Souls seasons are on, this is, second only to Watch Out for Fireballs. As far as time commitment goes, it's even more so than Bonfireside Chat. So like,
absolutely,
something had to break. I need to write that book. So the two things that you need, people listening need to know. One, I'm going to come back and I'm hopefully, Nick, you'll be okay with this. But it's just like, if I play something really interesting and I think you might like it, I might be like, hey, Nick, if you feel like checking this out, do it. And then if we both beat it, I'll come back and do an episode.
And I think that there's stuff we already know that's going to happen with, like, yes. Numenera. Like there's no way you're Numenera. Not going to come on and do a Numenera.
Numenera, I really want to play Night in the Woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really want to play Thimbleweed Park. Like those are all games I'm going to play hopefully this summer, and I want to come on and talk about. I don't have another place to talk about games that aren't for WoW.
Well, so, that's why the show got started. So
yeah, well, and just an excuse to like get you on the network and stuff. Because I don't want to make this all about me. That's why I didn't want to like be like fuck the show, you know.
Right.
So the other really important part and the treat for people who are listening is that the show's not going away.
Nope.
Because I am Brayton Cameron has graciously decided to step up and substitute for me.
Yes. And Brayton, if you guys haven't seen or haven't listened to the episodes that he's been on, he does the live streams with us every year, and he's been on a couple episodes of the show. And especially the one we've actually done video content for, the co-op one. You know, he plays probably more indie games than you and I combined anyway. So yeah. he's gonna be awesome on the show, and I'm real lucky to have him as your sub in.
Yeah, and also you guys are good friends, so yes. It's not gonna ruin chemistry.
No.
I like having, this is also a really important step because this is the first Duckfeed show that doesn't have me or Cole on it.
Yes. So don't stop listening because Gary goes away.
No, definitely don't. Like I will start listening because I'm not on it anymore. And I don't, I don't want people to stop listening. And this is also like, if we're going to experiment with that idea that like sometimes shows on Duckfeed won't have me or Cole, I can't think of people who I trust more.
Absolutely.
Than you guys. So like, it makes me really happy that's in capable hands.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
Yeah. I trust you guys implicitly. It will also have like a different flavor because Brayton plays different kinds of games.
Yeah. He's definitely a little bit more on the Nick variety, and he kind of even has his own splinter off on stuff that he plays that you and I typically don't. So
yeah.
You'll be seeing a little bit more of Brayton flavor games that otherwise wouldn't have been picked up by either of us.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm still coming back with those games that we already talked about. And
totally.
Then just also, this is going to free me up to play indie games from time to time, not on a schedule.
Right.
So, and those big kind of tentpole things, like when Tacoma comes out, I need you to play Tacoma.
Oh yeah.
So we can talk about it. Like all those things, like, and those, if Brayton's interested, like we could do all three of us. If Brayton wants to sit one out because schedule, that's also okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. That'll start with the next episode.
Yep.
It will be great.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I think that Brayton's going to bring some good flavor to it too.
Yeah, and also for people who don't know, if people listen to this and they haven't heard Brayton on this show or don't listen to Teenage Dirtbags or heard him on anything else, like Brayton is one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yes, and go listen to Teenage Dirtbags for at least like go find a couple episodes and listen to that show. You'll get a sense of the humor he's going to be.
Yeah,
he's flooding in here.
He's like I said, he's literally one of the my funniest people I've ever met. So yeah. Like, not that, yeah, and you also are very funny, Nick. I'm just saying, I'm replacing. You know, it's not a it's an upgrade in many ways. So yeah.
So with that, Gary, it's gonna be very sad to see you. Aww. But
we, it's secrets for people who are listening. Like I still see you like every week.
Oh yeah.
Like we're still going to hang out.
Yeah. So. We play games every Tuesday. So
yeah, I'm still getting enough Nick in my life and I will be back. So, hopefully you are not, people listening are not too sad. Nick, don't be sad. I will not be sad. It's not goodbye.
No. Some admin stuff real quick. If you like the show, have some recommendations, you can hit us up on Twitter at Comrade Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. I think, mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you like the show, like the network, want to help support us, the best way to do that is patreon.com/duckvtv. And there you can throw us a couple bucks a month and get some goodies. And that's the primary way we support the network, the way we keep all these things going and get to do cool stuff like the show you guys were just at.
Yeah, yeah. We went to the Midwest Gaming Classic in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that was because of Patreon.
Absolutely. So,
thank you. And stay tuned for those announcements. As we mentioned, they'll kind of start in that Bonfireside Chat appendix, but then we're also going to run a special episode that will probably run on all the channels so you guys can hear it. We're going to talk about kind of cool things we have going for the network.
Cool.
And I think you guys will like them.
Awesome. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Right. Take care, everybody.